I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
What's up, heroes? Welcome to My Hero Academia After Show. Today, we're going to talk about episode 14, otherwise known as episode 77, Bright Future. Yeah. Also, we got box office numbers for you for Weathering With You, which are really good. But yes,
very
we're starting
excited.
So upbeat, but this no, is a deep-ass episode. Oh my gosh, this got dark, but we knew it. We knew it was coming.
Guys.
We did.
I don't want to be the one to say that I told you so.
Right? We did kind of go, you are right.
I just don't want to say anything. We'll talk about it clearly.
We will.
But
yes.
Yeah, it's interesting how everything led up to here. And
yes,
it's more than I even thought with
Well, before
villains.
We get to a character name, we should say our names.
Oh, yes, yes, yes.
What's up? My name is Carrie Lane, and I'm joined by my awesome other, also pro hero, and then the other pro hero.
Pro hero, Ollie Drennan. You know, I'm the dream hero, and
yes.
Carrie, what hero are you again?
I guess with my red hair, we can go fire hero.
The fire
I'll take
hero.
That.
Okay, yes,
I'm,
yes, yes.
You know, I'm a Leo fire sign. It works. I'll take it.
You're kind of in line with, like, Endeavor, Todoroki.
But way better, way cooler than Endeavor of like. Not all like abusive to my
more,
family members.
More likable for sure.
Yes, thank you. We do have a live chat. Welcome everybody who's joining us live. If you're watching it later, please comment down below. Thank you so much for everybody who's been commenting and liking the videos before. We love hearing your feedback on the show. And like last week, shout out, there was somebody who had commented how, which I'll grab their name, how the ladies have not been doing as much, but this time they have. I would say they're stepping it up, and
yes.
I'm so happy for that.
That's so nice.
I'm going to grab your name so I can give you a
shout out to people in the chat right now. Marcus Ritchie,
yes.
Butterfly 702 Angel, Renji, Raindrops on Roses. Thank you guys so much for tuning in live, because you are part of the show just as much as we are.
Yes. It is Baron of Hell. Nice username.
Love
said, love the anime, but they don't do the lady heroes very well. We get multiple episodes of dudes doing their hero thing, but the ladies are just an afterthought.
Dude, I agree.
Preach. Preach.
I couldn't agree more.
Yes. But this episode, I think they stepped up more. I think the last one they did, so I'm glad it is changing up. I'm so glad. So first thoughts on this episode. I mean, we've kind of touched upon it a little bit, but now it's really, you know...
I think with this particular episode, it felt, I feel like, we have to keep in mind a lot of these episodes are 20 minutes long.
They're
if anything.
Short.
They're super
yeah.
short. And we have to, like, lessen that with the credits and whatnot.
Yeah.
But oh my gosh.
Got dark. Got heavy.
I mean, I was living, but also feeling extremely sympathetic, which we'll talk about more in depth with some of, like, the villain arc and whatnot.
Yeah,
that
was true.
Insane. And I love that they didn't show that in like the teasers and whatnot, because they show some things in the teasers which we kind of
I know, I'm like, oh, don't tell me too much. Yeah,
I know. I love, but even with the teasers, they don't give a whole lot with
which
week after week. But oh my gosh, with with Sir Night Eye and some of the things that
R.I.P.
I was kind of like,
girl, was,
I don't want to, like, delve right into it, but,
go
like,
for it. No, go for it. Do it.
I just think, like, it's just a very powerful message that you, with anyone watching this, it's kind of like, take your future, take your fate into your own hands. That's, like, one of the most important lines I feel like My Hero really exemplifies, is that you're powerful enough to kind of like redefine fate and what people are telling you. No, make your own fate. It's very simple, very short and put to the point. But like, I really love that. Like, obviously with a character death, it's very sad, but at the same time, it's very, I feel like it was probably one of the most important episodes of My Hero to date, in my opinion.
Well, it's our first like hero death,
right?
I'm like, nobody.
Very
like,
true.
Yeah, and I applaud it as a show and manga, and we're only covering the show, so please, manga readers, no spoilers ahead. You all do an amazing job of not saying anything, so shh, no spoilers.
Mm-hmm.
I think the show did a great job of having a character death, and I like that they went for it, because this is serious and dangerous work they do. It almost feels there's no stakes if no one dies. Like, really, nobody, no, all this, y'all are risking your life every day, and nobody dies. Nobody gets that seriously hurt. Like this one, people are seriously hurt. Recovery girl can do what she can, but like they still have broken bones. They have bandages.
I remember.
And we have a death.
Yeah. And I remember a couple, maybe even seasons ago when she was talking about Deku, like, I can't repair. She's like, I can't repair this much anymore. So it makes sense. And even like Aerie is not really.
Mm-hmm.
So she can't repair anything because of her current state. So it just, it was very unfortunate how things turned out. But I feel like in terms of storytelling, they turned out very beautifully.
Yeah. And I think they told it very well. They handled it well because it was, I felt it was sad, but we kind of felt it was coming.
Right.
Like it was an injury that we saw last week and we're like, I don't think he's going to make it. And I like it was such a character we care about. But it's not awful if they die.
Right.
I know that sounds really bad, but you know, like it, like if Mirio died, I'd be like, no.
I know,
but they made us care about Nighteye.
Because yeah,
and we care about him because the other people care about him.
He had attachments to All Might,
yeah,
Deku clearly, Mirio, but also, it was insane. It was it was insane.
And then yes, death of hero characters because we have had a villain death. Because Big Sis died. But I'm like, heroes.
So, yeah.
Which like, people we care. Well, though we can care about the villains, too. I think, well, Coda's parents were killed, but that happened in flashbacks. Said Renji. Yeah, true. But I feel this was
We never met
this
them.
This was a deeper, more important one. And again, we feel it through the other characters. Like seeing Mirio cry at his bedside. I'm like,
that was
this is just
tough.
Animated, but I'm going to cry because you're crying. Like, no. But I liked the opening. We get to see the fight from a new perspective because I like how anime does that where they come back to a moment we've already seen, but they change the camera angle or change who's telling that moment. And we get that last kind of moment with Deku totally like overhaul KO'd a bit. Aizawa with chronostasis. Tamaki to the rescue! I was so happy. I was like,
we love
yes! him. Thank you.
With the swordfish.
Yeah.
Stabbing him. I live for that for sure.
It was so good. I thought it was great. I'm glad we got to see him, that he's okay. The court getting stronger with Eri. I was like, oh no. But I was so glad that this was a great moment where Aizawa was able to, I was like debating which name to use.
Her.
Yeah, like turn it off. I'm like, perfect. And he even says later, like, I'm the only one who can really control her. So she gets quarantined, which I feel is unfortunate in a way, but like safer for everybody involved. Even her, because then it's emotional trauma for her if she hurts people and she can't control it yet. So it's like, all right, let's let it calm down first.
She still needs a lot of growing in terms of harnessing her power.
Oh, yeah.
Because I mean, we don't want to. We don't want to fast forward. Yeah. Rewind. Excuse me. Rewind Deku to like baby Deku. We don't want. We do not want baby Deku.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, baby Deku fans. But we don't want baby Deku.
Yeah. You're like no.
Though
Veronica would be like, yes, we do.
Exactly. Yes.
And Veronica and Jamie will be back next time. They're just not here this week. So shout outs to them. I know Veronica would be like, no, baby Deku. But Jamie's like, yeah, we're all no.
We need.
Adult Deku.
Teenager slash adult Deku, for sure.
Yeah. So we also get the really quick flashback, which ties in for Overhaul, is how he protect the honor of the family. So it was interesting that the Yakuza, like, you might think of them as villains, but they have a lot of honor to their system. And Overhaul, I don't feel is as honorable as this group he's part of, but I like that that's such as, like, internal mantra, essentially, like keeping that honor.
Regardless of whatever he's called, he is kind of like this character who will die trying to defend the people that he cares about.
Yep.
And even if it is deemed as villainous, whatever,
he will
go out fighting, whether he's being bullied, whether he's, you know, being targeted as something as evil, he will stop at nothing. And it's just very crazy, even though I don't agree with the lengths that he'll go through by any means. He's a character that I don't necessarily like, but wow.
You respect him a little bit.
I mean, maybe not respected him, but I felt for him in what happened to him, you know?
Well, I was going to say, we'll pause on that.
Right.
But yeah, I liked a rock car grabbing him out of the air. I was like, good, thank you. She's doing something of like, she's like, I got
finally,
this.
Finally. I mean, I just love when anime characters will shout their attack moves, gunmetal martial arts. I'm like, yes. Mm-hmm. Even though he was kind of subdued already, I was kind of
I know, but at least she did something. She's like, I need to do something in this situation. Side note from Raindrops on Roses. Is this the first fight for Deku where we don't get any type of All Might-based flashback? Because if so, then that's a super important character moment. I hadn't thought of it, but that's true. He doesn't think any moment back to All Might giving him any sort of message. He's so focused in that moment of defeating Overhaul, keeping Eri safe, and having to go as 100% as he can because otherwise he's going to rewind. So, that's a good point. Thank you.
Yeah, I think it makes sense because, I mean, he met Eri when All Might was not even in the picture. Yep. All Might was still very... All Might doesn't have his powers anymore.
Yeah.
So this was... Literally, this whole arc kind of stems from him becoming a hero without any outside help from All Might, mm-hmm. any influence from All Might. So it makes sense.
Yes.
You know, this was finally his arc of becoming a hero on himself with the help of Mirio and all of his peers.
Also, back to Araraka... Yes, Marcus Ritchie says, Gunhead Martial Arts. Yes.
Gunhead Martial Arts.
I like that she can fight, too. And Butterfly says, and yes, we need more girl moments. I agree. I feel a little bit more. Froppy was barely in this episode.
Where is my Nezure? Nezure was in this episode. But come on. We need the girls. Bring the girls out, please. Mm-hmm. Where are they?
They can do it, too. But actually, not the girls, but carrying someone. I want to mention that moment when Tamaki's carrying Mirio out. I was like,
whoa. I'm so happy you mentioned that because I was like,
it's so precious.
My heart.
It's our other ship that we're like, you know, that'd be really cute. They're a really cute thing.
It was very cute.
It was very sweet, too, of like him helping and like he had Tamaki idolized Mirio and now he's the one carrying his idol of like, I got you.
Because Mirio. For sure.
So we get Eri's quirk frozen. Deku moment that was really kind of quick, but I liked it. He is even protecting her when, like, he collapses and she collapses and he holds her head so it doesn't hit the ground. I was like, oh, and Aizawa turns her off, essentially. She goes to fall. Deku's like, I got you. Mm-hmm. Oh, Deku, even in those moments, I thought that was sweet. Though, Deku and Night Eye, when he's going in the ambulance, I know he's going to die, but I was like, Deku, talk to him later. Can we talk in the ambulance? I even wrote, I'm like, hurry up. Like, why? I hate that moment that even the ambulance people go, okay, you can have a moment with him. I'm like, no. Go to the hospital now.
Right?
Anybody else? I was like, no. Why are you waiting? Where's the sense of urgency? Like, it's okay. He has a giant hole in his body. It's cool. You can
literally,
him.
His body's, like, torn in half.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatever. It's okay. Then we get our... We have 11 Hasekai members caught. That was our kind of side note of how many the police grab. League of Villains. Oh, this was kind of a change of pace with stuff. Not surprised that they're still involved, but I was like, oh, no. I like Spinner. They're like, hey, Lizard Man. He's like... It's not my name. Poor guy. He's like, guys, come on.
I forgot about him. Respect. It's so funny. I'm
it's
like,
a little driver.
Oh, yeah, that guy. Season 3. I'm like, I remember you.
Because he was more with Stain, and I don't think he loves Shigaraki, but he'll join them kind of a thing.
Just because they're all deemed as villains, so it's kind of hard to like, I'll join you.
Yeah.
To benefit the villainry and whatnot.
I liked Sand Hero Snatch, which I thought was a funny written text. I thought that just sounded funny. He was cool for a hot second.
Until he got compressed.
Yeah. Though, fire and sand can make glass. So I was like, wait, because you know when lightning hits sand, it can make glass?
Apparently so not in this episode.
I don't... So somebody in the chat, they feel he's dead. He's in the little... The ball thing. Remember the little... Mm-hmm.
The compression.
Yeah, there we go. Thank you. I think he's probably dead because he's in there with fire, but maybe.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Because what's his face? I think it was...
I want to say it's Dobby.
Dobby was the one who said that. He kind of joked. Oh, he's probably dead.
Yeah, he's probably dead.
Like, okay, yeah. Goodbye, Sand Hero.
I wrote, oh well. I thought he was cool, and then it's like, oh no.
It was interesting. I'm like, yeah. Oh, he's going to stand up to the villains. There's more villains than him.
Yeah, he...
They're very smart. Good, they're very...
Very well calculated. Planned. And overhaul... Oh, okay. So now we'll get into that meaty slash not so meaty bit, because disintegrated by Shigaraki and cut off. So... Shigaraki goes, okay, so you can't use your quirk now. But I don't know if that's necessarily true yet. And again, please no spoilers, because I'm curious what overall... We didn't really get into the details of how it works. Like, Bakugo, it's specifically, like, his sweat. But the thing is, could he do, like, you know, from his forehead and use it? So with overhaul, does he have to touch things with his hand? Could it be something else? Mm-hmm. Can he get skin grafts or something like that? Does it have to be his skin? And, like, I don't know. Do you feel he's done?
To me, it seems like he just needs his hands.
Yeah.
And I feel like that was the most harmful thing you could do to overhaul is take away his hands, his ability to use his quirk. And I love that the fact
that...
I love the fact that the villains don't kill. The villains will take...
That's true.
The villains will do something even worse to you. Rather than kill you, they're going to torture you by taking away your quirk for life. Mm-hmm. Because if Overhaul can't use his quirk with his fingers, his whatnot...
Yeah.
What life does he have?
Oh, he's going to be so upset.
And that was treacherous. And I...
He's so out of it right now, too. He's just so... I don't understand what's going on. I don't think this...
I felt bad for him. Even though he did... Even though he abused the crap out of Aerie, I was thinking to myself, oh my gosh, I feel bad for Overhaul. And I can't believe I'm saying that, but damn. Like, I feel that he is completely renderlessly useless at this point. He doesn't have a quirk.
I don't think he has been so powerful.
Right.
That nobody has been able to stand up to him. And so I think he's just in a daze right now of can't even comprehend that he's lost. Mm-hmm. I like this in the chat. Says, Renji said, Shigaraki literally took everything from Overhaul. Nothing, not just his quirk, but his name, his goal, everything he sacrificed. And it pretty much just led to nothing. That's a good point of like that's... But that's the way to really destroy someone. It's not just, if you kill them, it's done and quick. But it's like, no, you want to make them suffer.
Right.
And a few people in the chat are saying, no, his body, because Compress says, like, no, its upper body can only turn to sand, so he's pretty much dead. Aw, but I'm curious to see how far, what we'll see for overhaul, because I like how... Like, I guess. I don't know if that's quite the right word, but Shigaraki goes, oh, well, I have to cut it off, otherwise it's going to spread to the rest of your body. Darn! But it's, oh! It felt like a really fitting punishment, in a way. But it was interesting coming from a villain. Mm-hmm. A villain destroying this other villain.
And it was funny how, like, but I love that, because I feel like we don't get that in, like, comics these days. We don't get the villain villain versus villain. We always get the hero versus villain. So it's always just very, it's like a very interesting, like, gray component to kind of like a delve into a villain versus villain and like what it is to be a villain and what it is to kind of like fight fire with fire and whatnot. So I really enjoyed that, like, My Hero is really tackling that.
Yep.
And rather than the boring old stale, like, good versus evil.
No, it's more interesting, yeah, for sure, see the different shades of gray in there.
Different shades of villainry and whatnot, and what it is to be a villain,
like the ones from petty theft versus like destroying people and then being evil. We'll go with Tanisha said, nah, Overhaul tortured a child. He got off lucky. Hashtag Team Shigaraki. Hashtag this one time. All right. I like it. And then Marcus says, I guess revenge for Big Sis Magne's death. Yep. Fair.
Very true.
I think it's absolutely fitting. I don't know if I feel bad for him, but I can acknowledge it sucks. Like, oh, of all the things to really hurt you, I feel this is probably the biggest, like, moment for him.
And it was really cool just to see those villains, like, just Shigaraki kind of reclaim their power.
Yeah.
Because this whole time we were focused on Overhaul and Mimic and all of his stupid, annoying bird friends.
Yeah.
And how they were just kind of, I mean, they failed regardless, but it was cool to kind of reclaim, see them reclaim their time, their power through this crazy episode.
Yes. Leave a comment.
Events.
Yes. Leave a comment down below. Do you feel Overhaul deserved it? Do you feel bad for him? Or is it like, ha, you got what you deserved? Let us know. But, I mean, it's a testament to the show that it makes you feel almost bad for a horrible person that you feel for them. And so I appreciate shows that make you go, oh, I shouldn't feel bad for them, but I almost kind of do. But, yeah. So then we also have the other big feeling bad in a good way in terms of you shouldn't feel bad is when Nighteye's deathbed. And how he says, smile, a society without cheer and humor will not have a bright future. Oh, I didn't cry, but I was pretty close. But I think it's because I knew it was coming. We all knew it was coming. We're like, oh. But I'm glad he was able to see All Might one last time. Right. And they essentially kind of made up a little bit. Like, no, I don't hate you. And got essentially final words together, and poor Mirio. And then earlier too, Bubble Girl she was so sad too, of like, oh no, it's the end.
Because she was a sidekick to Sir Nighteye. Mm-hmm. And then obviously Mirio was kind of like he was the pupil to Sir Nighteye. So all the influence that Sir Nighteye had over everyone, including Deku at this point. So he really did play a huge part in a lot of people's lives, and to kind of just see that, like, his change of heart and, like, his change of character despite him basically being on his deathbed.
Yeah.
It was very heart-wrenching, and despite him dying, or in the process of dying, I wanted to know this new Nighteye. I wanted to know where his head was at. I wanted to know where...
Oh, okay. When he used his power on Mirio for one last second. I'm like,
and it was
why?
It was very unfortunate in the fact that, like, Eri was unable to use her rewind at this point because she was subdued.
Yeah.
She had a fever. So I was thinking, okay, maybe Eri could be the key to helping him revive him. But this whole time, I feel like Sir Nighteye was in deep trouble of possibly dying. And so it was very unfortunate that he was in the process of dying, like I said. But I really wanted to know, like, this new Nighteye, because he had so much, he had a huge change of heart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this whole time he was thinking fate was written in stone, but this whole thing with Deku and Eri redefining fate, and I feel like he made it more so like that Deku was the one who redefined fate. But I think last week we were like, I think it was Jamie or Veronica, but I agree that Eri really played a huge part in redefining fate. And I feel like it was more credited to Deku. But I'm thinking...
Well, because people didn't understand her power yet.
Exactly. But I feel like Eri really, really changed things. And without her, I don't know if we could have defeated Overhaul.
Oh, yeah. No way. I think because we had Eri's ability in the field of play, Deku could do what he did.
Right.
And I think Deku understands he could not have done that without her.
Right.
And I feel that will probably come out later. And I think a lot of the people don't really understand her quirk yet. Like, he literally experienced it firsthand. So he goes, oh, no, wait. And I think Aizawa got it because he goes, okay, well, he was a little bit aware of it. But I think the other people will probably come out later. Also, I like that they don't... back away from the death in terms of they could have tried to heal him or something, but I kind of like the severity of the show, and I feel we've got the show kind of eased you into that, which I like because it makes it more real world. Again, the stakes wouldn't feel high enough if everybody's like, oh, it's fine. We healed everybody. Be like, then everybody be a hero. Be like, no big deal. Like, no, this needs to be serious, and like these kids, what they're doing is serious. So I liked that it was in play even though it was sad.
And they tried as much as they could, even without Eri. Like, Recover Girl, she couldn't do it.
Yeah.
She couldn't even help Deku in the previous seasons. Mm-hmm. So it just goes to show that, wow, like, we're growing up. And growing up means that you have to suffer sacrifices, and you have to make sacrifices, and you're going to experience loss as an adult, which some of these characters are experiencing.
Yeah. we're getting so deep and heavy.
And it's like, sad. Like, it really goes to show, I feel like we were younger. Well, technically, we were younger at the beginning of the series, but it really does go to show that you are going to lose things in the process of gaining things through being a hero and defeating these villains.
Yeah.
So
I think the core group who's gone out into the field will really get it. So I'm curious how, when they get back into like Gen Pop idea of like the other people, how do you, and then also Lost, like I'm curious, well, this is semi leading into predictions, but how do they deal with that? Like, how do they talk to each other about Lost and mentors, losing your mentor and stuff, like, because the other students don't have that as much.
Yeah,
but they were really worried. Yeah, and they were really worried with Red Riot being all bandaged up, and they were, oh no, is he okay? But luckily he's okay. So luckily everybody else is okay. But I think it's going to get more intense. So we'll see where it goes. So before we get to your predictions, we're going to do a little bit of news and our special segment, and then we'll do our predictions. So let's start with some news. A little bit of a palate cleanser for us, because I'm like, ugh. All right, so we talked about Weathering With You last week, so that came out in limited release on the 15th and 16th. So the movie did very well, which is great. So it came out $180 million on their U.S. run, which is amazing. That is pretty big numbers.
For the U.S. run, for sure.
For the U.S.
That's
so
crazy. That's awesome.
Yeah. You're like, yes, more anime in theaters. So worldwide, the film has grossed $358 million, which is like, what? But 235 of that is due to Japan's run, and that was 29 weeks, and that came out earlier in July. So good job, U.S. people, for going out and seeing it. Also, it was where'd it go? Oh, so currently, Weathering With You ranks as the sixth highest grossing anime film of all time, with $178 million behind films like Stand By Me, Doraemon, sorry, I butchered that a little bit, Ponyo, Howl's Moving Castle, Spirited Away, and of course, Your Name at number one. So,
but what about Pokemon, the first movie? The most important anime film of our time.
You're like,
of our
generation. Duh. So we'll see what the rest of its run has. I do recommend checking it out. It's a really beautiful anime. Similar to Your Name, it has some more abstract concepts. I start this way because I start like regular world stuff, and then it gets a little more abstract. I feel some people might be a little weird, but it's cool, and I like how they approach some of the subject matter. Mm-hmm. All right. Then that was our news. So for our word of the day, it's a little more of a phrase, which kind of works with this, and they've said it. So the word is daijoubu desu ka? So it's, are you okay? And that could work into like, you okay? Or like if someone looks like they're really tired and, you know, carrying up the stairs. I actually saw this on a program and it was cute. So this guy helps this little old lady to go up the stairs with her luggage. And he's like, daijoubu desu ka? And he goes up the stairs carrying all the bags. And then he's huffing and heaving. And someone walks over to him. And he's like, daijoubu desu ka? I felt that was the greatest cute little way to learn it. So, daijoubu.
Daijoubu.
Desu.
Ka.
So it pretty much makes a question like, are you okay? Like, daijoubu is like, yes, that's the okay. So you can say daijoubu desu, like, I'm okay. So daijoubu desu ka?
Daijoubu desu ka.
Yay! So that's our word of the day, our Japanese word of the day. Thank you. All right, now we'll be getting into predictions, but a couple quick comments. I was looking back at this again. Shout out to the people in the chat. Thank you so much for tuning in. And again, if you're watching this later, it's totally cool as well. Please leave comments down below. Click that like button and subscribe. iTunes, leave 5 stars and let us know what you thought about the show. So Raindrops on Roses says, am I right in my interpretation that Aizawa was saying that he's now Eri's guardian since he's the only person who can control her quirk? Did anyone else read that scene that way? I don't know if I saw him as a guardian, but I mean, essentially he's an authority teacher figure that, yeah, sure, is Daddy Aizawa.
I think he'll play a big part in the sense of, like, he can
help shape her. Yeah.
Because she can't control her quirk.
Yep. I feel she's in good hands of, like, to trust someone, yes. Then, yeah, go ahead.
No, well, Step B said, I want a YouTuber villain. Oh my gosh.
Oh no.
There's already so many YouTuber villains, let me tell you.
Dad Zawa Raindrops, yes. Okay. All right. Oh, Renji says, I bet Bakugo will try to cheer up Deku and or Kirishima. Ah, man, I paid to see the day that Bakugo tries to actually cheer someone up. I'm like, yeah, right.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, we'll see. All right, any prediction? We'll get into our predictions now.
Okay.
Marcus says, referring to Aizawa, he said he'd be her guardian since her grandfather is still out of commission. That's true. Technically, she has no buddy who wants to take care of her.
Right.
I'm like, well, her mother got rid of her. Her mom didn't die, though. So, but her mom didn't care.
Aerie needs to be in a place of positive reinforcement for sure, regardless. So I feel like Aizawa, if he is going to be her foster dad, that's great.
Because I think it's good.
He can not only uplift her, but he can also control her powers.
That's the best parent. Be like, stop.
If it does get out of hand, for sure. Yeah. But in terms of predictions, oh my gosh, I don't even know. I feel like next episode, and speaking of next episode, I feel like it won't be a filler, but it's kind of like recuperating from everything.
It's a breath of air.
Right. Recuperating from everything that happened. We're going to see some awesome characters that I've been missing, like my Jiro, like my...
The rest of the class. Absolutely. I feel we haven't seen them in forever.
Haven't gotten the spotlight, so they're going to kind of, like, shine their light, and hopefully maybe their characters that have been in, the huge scene of the battle scene and whatnot can help maybe influence them and whatnot and be, like, kind of teach them, because they haven't had the internships. They haven't had, like, the experience that some of our characters, like Froppy, Araka, and Deku have had. So it's going to be, like, an interesting... not filler episode, but kind of an episode to help educate everyone and get on the same path. Like, I mean...
I do like those episodes where everybody gets on the same page of things.
And the huge loss of, like, mourning Serenidae.
I'm hoping that the two groups, those who have experienced everything and then those who didn't get to go out in the field, that they can help each other out, because the experience of the field is beneficial for everybody. But I think those who haven't gone through it, I hope that they can offer comfort and support to those who probably are a bit traumatic after that crazy mission. I really hope it doesn't do, like, a split in terms of, like, you don't understand. You weren't there. Right. I'm like, oh, please don't do that. I don't think it's going to, but I feel that that's something that's an easy, like, oh, you don't understand. You weren't there. You haven't gone through that loss. But I think everybody's going to have it sink in of, like, this is a little more serious. But we'll see. I'm excited for where they're going to go. I'm kind of hoping that they will all bond more because of this. Because
we haven't seen, like, a lot of, like, perspectives from some of the very extreme, like, popular characters, such as, like, Bakugo, Todoroki, and, you know.
We're like, where are those people?
So and Momo. Like, yeah. I want to know what they think of, like, everything that's happened. Yep. So it's just really interesting to see, like, what their thoughts and perspectives are at this moment.
So I'm curious for the next big arc, but we'll save those. And thank you for nobody doing spoilers. Because the other thing, too, between anime and manga, sometimes things change a little bit, so.
Right.
But I'm very excited to see where it goes. This show definitely keeps you hooked. So that wraps us up for this episode of A Bright Future. So I know we're a little more serious and heavy talk today, but it was a good episode. Thank you so much for joining us, watching, and listening. Ollie, where can they find you online?
Hey guys, you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Ollie Jammer, and check out my cosplay page at on Instagram at Ollie Cosplays.
Somebody asked if you've done Trunks. I think not. With your hair, they're thinking that.
I'll do Trunks. We'll see.
Okay. My name is Carrie Lane. You can find me online at Carrie D Lane. That's KARIDLANE. Make sure to follow us as well on Twitter for the show's Twitter page, which is ABTV Anime. So we do a lot of press releases, movie announcements on there as well, photos for, like, figures that are coming out. Also, starting today, there's going to be a mini, so not like this kind of an after show, but like a mini after show for the newest arc of Sword Art Online. So if you're a Sword Art fan, tune in for that. I'll be hosting that, and we'll be having a lot of the English voice actors in, so I'm very excited to share that with all of you. And I'm also really excited in advance, the Crunchyroll Awards, which is coming out soon in February, and I'm like, oh, I want to watch a lot more anime, because some of them I've seen, other ones I haven't yet. Leave comments on some of your favorite anime down below. All right, again, thank you so much for watching and listening. We'll see you next time. Bye. Sayonara.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.